Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And welcome to 2018, our first podcast analyzing this last week's market.
So do you feel, you know, I used to feel different when the new year started. I don't know if it was this year, it was kind of like on a weekend, so it wasn't that big of a deal, or it was just me getting older where birthdays don't mean as much anymore and, you know, kind of life goes on. But was it exciting for you?
No.
You didn't wake up to, oh, it's a new year. No, huh?
No. No, not at all.
Oh, you wake
didn't
up
have
to
a hangover either.
Woke up to, oh, God damn it, it's a new year. What do you do for the New Year's shebang?
Watch the two football games. Very disappointing.
Oh. Did you see the UCF game this weekend?
UCF? Oh, it's Central Florida?
Yeah. That's my team.
Well, that's a good team because they haven't lost a game and they should have been in the playoffs.
I know. It's pretty sad. That guy, I think his name is Griffin with the one hand he plays. He's defensive.
Yeah.
But that's where my son goes to school. So this is his last year. So 2 years ago, they went 0-12.
Oh, well, they should have had a fast turnaround. That shows you what a good coach can do.
Yeah. And now, of course, he's leaving to go to Nebraska.
Yeah. And well, they'll probably do well there, too. Until he kind of hits the wall wherever that is.
Yeah. But yeah, it was great. It was a great game. I actually took the TV from inside the house and I was thinking, I'm going to put it out in the tiki hut. Get a barbecue out there, have the TV out there. I have one in my bedroom, like a 55-inch. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? You know, I got to maybe put a long coax. And I went to Best Buy. I'm thinking about it. And I started looking. I'm like, wait a minute. Fire Stick and Roku and Apple TV all have ESPN. And
that's the way to do it. Wi-Fi it.
Yeah, since I have Xfinity, I have the ESPN app on the Apple TV that I can log in with. So I just schlepped the TV out there, plugged it in, plugged the Apple TV in, boom, there it goes. I got a new Mocha device in the house that pushes another signal out right in the backyard. So I got a really strong signal and a perfect high def event in the backyard under the tiki.
Welcome to 2018.
You know, I got to tell you something. I felt like one of these old guys that didn't know anything about technology as I was thinking through this. Like, how can I get the cable to work in the backyard? And then it just came over me. I'm like, what am I, stupid? You know, I feel like an idiot. So anyway, let's give a quick review of what's going on. The markets ended last year with a little bit of a whimper. As a matter of fact, it was down 2 days in a row, I believe, the S&P 500. And it came down pretty hard during the afternoon and then into the close. And then this is kind of weird. After the close, the futures kept moving down on Friday. So the markets are down like 36 or 37 basis points for the day. And then they came down another like 30 or so basis points afterwards. So I'm thinking that you come into Tuesday and there's going to be a little bit of a catch-up requirement, you know, to get back up there because they kind of came down pretty significantly.
Right.
Futures were this morning up, let's call it 1 or 2 points, but the fair value, which is a calculation of what the cash versus the close of futures with dividends and stuff like that, the differential and where it has to be, was like nowhere. So that whole downstroke on Friday afternoon didn't seem to matter. In other words, it didn't calculate anywhere. I thought that was really weird.
It's strange.
I'm sure there's some explanation that I'm missing, but that's what I saw. But then we saw all of a sudden everybody back in the pool again. You know, we took that bullish jump from 2007, left off right where we stopped and just climbed right back. Tech, healthcare, growth stocks. Kind of led the way again out of the gate. And we saw the S&P up 65 basis points. NASDAQ 100 rocketed up 1.85%. Small caps were up 0.85%. And we got more record closes.
Unbelievable.
It just keeps on going.
Well, this should be, if you use that old rule, January marks the... But how did that work last year?
Nothing works anymore. None of these things work because there's so much liquidity and there's so much stimulus around the world. And now we're starting to hear, I'm going to mark
this. It's all funny money.
I talked about this. that there's going to be the potential for a tax cut wars around the world. Remember this? We're starting to see countries talking about now, maybe they'll do tax cuts. And what's interesting
maybe
they
should all just cut taxes to zero. And then support themselves with just borrowed money.
Which is what they're doing. And what's
or robbing the public by mugging them.
Which is what they're doing too. It depends on where you are, right? They're getting robbed if they're savers. Savers are getting just obliterated. But what's really interesting is we have record debt on the books of governments now.
Right.
And this is the time that they're saying, let's cut taxes because let's try another experiment. Let's cut taxes in the hopes that that will bring more taxes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little nutty.
It's just a theory.
Right. Well, it didn't work ever before. Just like.
Well, that's debatable.
Just like the stimulus didn't bring inflation up.
You know, that again, I've made this argument before. I'll make it again. You don't, since you can't do a double blind study, you don't know what would have happened if you didn't do it. Could have been horrible.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll give you that. But again, we're starting to see that several countries are talking about tax cuts of variety of sources. We're also continuing to see the, as we knew last year, a big diversion of returns between growth and value, where growth was up 27 to 28%, the tech, healthcare, and all that. Staples, utilities were not up as much. And these are the higher interest interest-bearing stocks and blue chips. Those kind of things are called value stocks. So we're making bets that there's going to be a reversion to the mean, which we do see quite often, where one side catches up to the other. So we saw, for example, oil for a long time. It started getting well under its long-term average price and then starts to pick up. We see that, for example, you know, sector by sector, when they're underperforming for a long time, they all of a sudden start to turn around because everybody looks at them as a great value play. And why should I be buying something that has such a high PE or overvalued, right? So we're making a bet. We're starting to move clients into value-oriented positioning and taking a little bit off of growth and in totality, really just bending the, you know, if there's just two sides of it, we're just bending it all towards value. Or not all, but bending it towards value.
So that's sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And especially because valuations are so high.
Yeah.
Now, I came into the office this morning bright and early after winning that nice chipper game. And I was chipper. I was up. I was ready to go. Let me just back up for a second before I tell you this. Let me just tell you that on New Year's Eve, went to some friend's house. And they played this white elephant game where you bring a gift and you get numbers and you got to pick a gift. And if you'd like your gift, you can keep it or else you could possibly exchange it with somebody else. And depending where you are in the list of numbers, depends on what you can take and steal from somebody else kind of thing. You ever play this?
No, never.
All right. Well, you get the hang of this a little bit from what I'm telling you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's my turn. I got a low number, but it's my turn. And I go and I pick up a box. I don't know. Who knows what's in it? So I pick it up. I don't know what happened. I dropped the box. I'm thinking, uh-oh. I hope it's not something like glass or something, you know? So all of a sudden I see this woman at the end of the table. Like kind of her face turns pale. I guess it was her gift that she bought. I opened it up. Fortunately, I only broke one of the, it was, she brought it in from Mexico. She lives in Mexico. She brought it in from Mexico. And it was like a tequila set with shot glasses and a little tray and a, made out of like clay or something like that, ceramic.
Yeah, sounds good.
So I broke one. I felt really bad. Well, yeah, I wasn't even drinking that much.
Somebody was drinking.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, I walked in this morning into the office, ready for 2018. A lot of stuff I did over the weekend, a little good best of 2017 podcast I put out for the Disciplined Investor. And I noticed across my screen was upgrade after upgrade after upgrade. Stock prices being upgraded, the home builders being upgraded, the Netflix being upgraded, just go down the list, upgrade after upgrade. Amazing. Seems that the analysts are starting to, you know, starting off the year with a very positive and bullish commentary.
You're talking about analysts' upgrades of stocks.
Yeah.
Sound like your machine needed work or something.
Oh no, that would be terrible. I'm dedicated to no upgrades this year.
Yeah, well, good luck.
But analysts were upgrading stocks all over the place.
I wonder why.
I guess they're starting the year. They're looking at the tax reform. You know, you're seeing companies come out with some positive
commentary. People are looking at the tax bill. They're analyzing it to the point where now I think they're trying to get to, or they're getting to the point where they understand it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what causes this. So, ooh, maybe this is good.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of the banks come out with, they're going to take a lot of one-time charges because of deferred taxes that they have, and they were holding it in special accounts, and now those are no longer able to be held there. So I think there was, you know, one bank, like a JP Morgan was, you know, $2 billion, and this one's going to take a one-time charge of, you know, $580 million. This one's going to take $1.5 billion. Didn't seem to affect the stocks at all because it's just a paper, quote unquote, paper transaction. But there's a lot of companies coming out with that. Then there's other companies saying, "Hey, we're going to do." I think Southwest Airlines is going to go and create a whole new fleet of planes through Boeing because of all the savings they're getting. So there's some benefits to this, it seems. I contacted my accountant today. I said, "Listen, you know, why don't you give me some things that I can do here? Something where I could save some money." He's like, "Okay." Of course, he didn't call me first. Do a little planning. No. I got to call him.
No. You initiate the contact. That way he can bill you.
Ah, I see. Otherwise, it's just a friendly chat. I didn't tell you to call me. Buying in, we saw today buying with some of the names that didn't do great in 2017 was also taking place today. Even GE was bid up about 3% today. Couldn't catch any legs throughout the entire year. That's that reversion to the mean trade. People are going to be like, we're going to start, doing something. And on that note, not only are investors picking up the trash and garbage, but it seems that, do you know that the New Year's Eve in Times Square generates 50 tons of trash?
I heard some number years ago, and I don't remember it, but it was there's a lot of trash there. You think people would use a garbage pail or something.
But even if they were, I mean, even if they did. Would let me ask you this question. Would you ever go or have you ever gone to Times Square for New Year's?
No.
Would you?
And would I? No.
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 That seems insane, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, this year in particular because of the weather. But who needs to say, I don't like the idea of crowds that size. I'm just not a big fan.
You got to stand there for hours on end. And maybe out of a really good window at a close hotel, or on a balcony.
That would be fine could actually see the ball.
Right. Yep. Well, the other thing that you were talking about earlier about, you know, what happens in January, you know, there's a couple of things. First of all, you know, what happens in January, what goes in January, so goes the rest of the year, was the old theory. January's down, the rest of the year is, you know, down. If January's up, it's kind of like a groundhog day for markets.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem to work. You know, the theory was, I guess,
seemed to work years ago.
A lot of things worked years ago when the markets were actually operating normally. Not that the markets going up is abnormal by any means, but just the general operation of markets is not normal. Or it is normal, but it's not what it used to be.
Yeah, you've been complaining about this for, I don't know.
Yeah, ad nauseum, I think, is the time period.
Forever.
But there is something called the January effect. It's a little bit different. And this is basically a seasonal increase in stock prices during the month of January. See, what happens is that as the year goes on and people have losses in their portfolios, certain stocks, and a lot of times we're going to focus in on the small cap stocks. Towards the end of the year, they say, hey, you know what? We're going to take those losses and book it so that we can get a tax loss, you know, tax loss harvesting. This oftentimes happens about in December. So you want to offset some of your gains. Mm-hmm. So you get the sell-off. And it's more pronounced in these low volume and thinly traded stocks. So oftentimes small caps. And then what happens is they buy them back in January, 30 days later. So they may sell them in, let's say, December 15th or December 10th or whatever it is. 30 days later, so they don't get the wash sale rule, and they buy them back. So what you see is oftentimes is this lagging of these small cap and illiquid stocks towards the end of the year that haven't done well, and then they buy them back, and you see this uptick in price, particularly for small caps. So we're going to be watching to see if that's happening, but it does seem that that is kind of happening.
Yeah.
Now, we saw over the weekend some economic releases, particularly out of China. Gina. And of course, guess what? They met estimates right on.
It's astonishing how they do this, just time after time.
It's amazing. You wonder what they would do if they didn't actually get a front end read by the various economic analysts out there. Like, what would they do?
I guess they'd shoot them.
Yeah. So in addition, we saw data out of Europe. So China came in good. We saw Europe, some of the best manufacturing numbers in a while. And on that note, the euro itself started to move up again. Now it's towards the 120 level, which is putting somewhat of a damper on stocks in that region. Nothing major, but a little bit of a, you do see they are lagging a bit in the last couple of months. We saw that the dollar today dropped to a 3-year low, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't get it. I really don't understand it.
It's really, yeah.
Because it wasn't the tax bill, wasn't the stronger economy, wasn't the Fed raising rates.
I know, it's counterintuitive that it would be at this level.
Yeah, it was supposed to be supportive of the dollar. Everybody was betting on that.
Yeah, well, they bet wrong.
Definitely. There's a chart here on DH Unplugged. You can go over there and check out episode number 389 and take a look at the various show notes, of course, and the charts and things like that. Just click on that and you can see it. But basically, I mean, again, with all the things, especially with, you know, President Trump saying, I don't know if you saw the latest tweet this evening, because...
No, what's the latest?
Kim Jong-un, let's see if I can pull it up right on my phone.
This is the one about the buttons?
Yeah, the buttons, yeah.
My button's bigger than your button?
Yeah, and it works.
And it works?
Yeah. Kim Jong-un said something about, well, you know, just to let you know, I have the button on my desk at all times. For his nuclear arsenal. And of course, they could reach the United States, any part of the United States and all that. So President Trump tonight tweeted something to the effect of, oh, that's great, but hey, by the way, let me just find this here for you. Let me read this. It's so much better when you read it word for word. It just has much more punch. He said, this is a different one. I don't have the one. But basically he said that, my button's bigger than your button. It's on my desk all the time. And your, starving, ravaged, economically deprived country, you know, can't do much harm to us. And, obviously we have a much bigger button with a much bigger arsenal will destroy you concept, you know? So that was, nobody cares about that. In the old days, somebody would be like, oh my God.
You mean the old days? You mean last year?
Yeah, last year. You talk about nuclear war and things get kind of, you know, a little pissy, but not anymore. And that's because
people are just starting to ignore this stuff.
Totally ignore it. We saw that South Korea had a PMI though that dropped. They're having some difficulty. There's a lot of reasons. Their currency is up a bunch. They're obviously right next door to North Korea, and there's some concern there. They dropped into a level that would be considered not expansionary or basically contractionary. 49.9. Philippines PMI was 54.2, a little bit lighter than last month. Indonesia, 49.3 versus 50. Malaysia, 49.9. So there's a couple of areas. And the question is, you know, is this going to spread? Is a one-month wonder? Is, we're seeing a topping pattern in PMIs, which is all important for those economies. That's what they really look at. We're going to see ours tomorrow. We're going to see the manufacturing index tomorrow, the ISM. We'll see if that's going to do anything.
It's not going to have much of an effect, I don't think.
What would have an effect?
I don't know at this point. I have no idea.
I don't even think closing the market could keep the market down. I don't think so.
I have no idea. Maybe some real, a good terrorist attack someplace might do something for a while.
For a while. It would have to be something very significant.
Create buying opportunities.
Right. That's what everybody would say. Hey, oh, it's a great buying opportunity.
Yeah.
They just buy right back in. That's why nobody's waiting anymore.
Right. They're just buying and buying and buying.
Yep.
This is the beginning of the end. Come on.
Things are a little frothy. But nobody really wants to talk about it, by the way. Because, you know, if you say something like, oh, I think markets are really, even if they don't say, I think there's going to be a correction. If they don't go so far as saying that or, you know, saying that, I don't like the market, I'm pulling out, or whatever they're saying, they're almost embarrassed to do so. Because they'll face public ridicule. Yeah, you're out. You know, like I see on Twitter.
Yeah, especially if the market doesn't turn around at all.
Right. You idiot.
You can't say anything because then you look like a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
Because it didn't happen. And the market keeps chugging ahead.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I've seen already people getting ridiculed. There's a Twitter post that's going around where some guy said like a year and a half ago, I'm pulling all my money out and my kids' money out and putting it on the side because, you know, Trump's elected and it's going to be a concern, blah, 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 blah. And everybody's sitting around like, what an idiot. Look at this guy did a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah. This is the guy. Right. I've seen this going around. It's all over Twitter.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago and Trump got elected, or I guess a year. Yeah, almost a year and a half ago. Not quite. This guy says, I'm pulling out. Trump's going to ruin everything. And so now people keep pointing to that tweet as saying, which is the guy's an idiot. What does he know that, you know, how did he know? I don't know. It's very funny, this thing going around.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
The guy's famous too. He's some half famous guy.
Yeah. So who knows if he actually got back in or what happened?
Well, if you're going to be out, you might as well stay out.
Yeah, I guess. Let's talk about the best markets in 2017. Number one market, Argentina. It surged 77%.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Nigeria, number two, is up 42%. Still below its high set in 2008, but 42% is not too shabby. Even though we had a coup attempt in 2006, series of terror attacks and all that.
2016.
In 2016, yeah. Turkey went up 48% in 2016.
Yeah, Turkey looks like a good idea.
In what regard?
I think it's a good investment opportunity. And I only say that because I ran into some guy. I've talked about this on the No Agenda show. Some Turk runs an auto repair place nearby. And he says that people in our country, the USA, don't understand what the hell's going on over there. And Erdogan is doing a great job. People love it. Love the guy. They're not going to get him out of office. And he's been modernizing the country from stem to stern.
Yeah, I guess he is the he's a giant protectionist. You can look at him in a couple of different ways. But one thing that is clear that he's doing is everything for Turkey, screw everybody else, which is good for Turkey.
Yes, usually.
So you wonder if actually a protectionism style of economic an economy that has that going on actually can do well in such a globalized situation. Harry Dent, I had him on a few weeks ago, who was always calling for the sky to fall. You know him, right?
Oh, yeah.
The next crash ahead, the great crash ahead.
He's been saying that for years. That's unfortunate because it's like, you know, you only get to call it once, maybe twice. You can't just keep calling it and calling it and calling it for year after year after year, and it never happens. And then it finally happens, and you're going to take credit for it.
He keeps writing books about it. So the last book he wrote, not the most recent, but the one before, The Great Crash Ahead or something like that, and how to profit from it. So he talked about, he softened it because he softened how he says, yes, there's going to be a crash, and then there's great profit opportunity after that. Everything's going to go to zero kind of thing and all that. But he talked about it happening in like 2017. That didn't happen. So now his new book is out. And he's talking about the next thing that could happen somewhere about 2020. He pushed it forward a bit.
Oh, that's good because it'll probably happen before that.
Yeah. So, but how all this is going to come to it. And he can put some good research behind it. But still, you know, it's a problem because you lose credibility when you keep on calling for the sky to fall.
Yeah.
So we also had the Hang Seng up 36%. So that was pretty good, as opposed to the Shanghai and the Shenzhen that didn't do as well. So pretty good numbers overall. You have a lot of these areas are you know, Nigeria, Argentina with a lot of, and Turkey with a lot of inflation, but still doing very well. Brazil did start to come out of its malaise as well. Now, let's kind of go to your neck of the woods, dude, California is launching the world's largest regulated commercial market for recreation marijuana. That happened yesterday. You see a lot of people walking around stoned?
And that's new?
Well, that's true. It's California. Yeah, good point. But now this is going to be a recreational. You have to be 21 years old. 6 state to popularize this. And what's interesting is that this is not new. It's not like they said on Sunday, hey, Monday, we're going to be allowing for recreational use. This was passed a while ago and just implemented.
Over a year ago.
Yeah. So what happened? when all the news started coming out about this? Well, the pot stocks caught fire. Anything cannabis related was up big time today. And you even saw a gigantic move over the weekend in these altcoins. Cannabis
Ethereum
coin.
Ethereum is a good example.
No, not Ethereum. I'm not talking about Ethereum. Ethereum has nothing to do with that. I'm talking about Toke coin, cannabis coin.
Oh, I don't know any of these.
Yeah, Toke. These are the old coins, you know, the cryptos. And there was one more. Cannabis coin.
I thought Ethereum rocketed.
It did, but not 200% like these other ones.
Ah.
Ethereum was down all weekend. It was down to about 720 and it moved to 694, I saw it actually. And it moved up today because, why? It's a day later. UBS is coming out with some kind of a Ethereum-based transaction mechanism for quickly using the blockchain to confirm transactions. Instead of 3 or 4 days, it's like one minute or less than a minute. So somebody saw that. And even though this was something planned for a long time, Ethereum went berserk. But these cannabis stocks were up like 200% over the weekend. Or not stocks, the coins.
We'll see how this shakes out.
Yeah.
And right now there's lines everywhere. And I saw this in Washington State. It was the same thing. When the day of legalization took place, which is today or yesterday, there was a huge line. There are lines, I guess, these pent up demand for pot. And so there's huge lines, and there's lines lasted, not the same one line, but there's always a line for about a month. And then it's got shorter and shorter. And then now you can just wander in any one of these stores you want to. And it's not a big deal.
It's got to piss off the dealers.
No, the dealers, the black market, they were talking about that on the news here in the Bay Area, saying, well, you know, the prices, because of all these taxes, the prices are too high for the drugs. It's going to make a flourishing black market. Mm. Mimi, who's up in Washington most of the time, she told me that the taxes are about the same up there, and the black market's been devastated. It's done. There is no black market for dope up there. Killed.
You know, in that sentence, he said something. I got to figure out how to get my wife to live in a different state. I got to hand it to you.
Yeah.
That's something.
Well, you got a house, some couple of houses outside of the area.
Yeah, that's true. I could go there if I ever fix the roof. Can't get a roofer. Can't get a roofer.
Think about what we have to go through down here because of the situation in Sonoma County.
Oh, there's like nobody to do anything, right? Nobody fixing anything because they're all up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a question. This is a good call or it's reaching. Nomura Securities came out with an analysis over the weekend that Bitcoin is about to boost the world's third largest economy, Japan. Because of the 1,500% rally that there was last year in Bitcoin has left these crypto-crazed Japanese investors sitting on hefty gains and is going to spur consumer spending.
Fantastic. This is another beginning of the end. Because the Japanese are known for doing these stupid things and then getting their asses handed to them.
Yeah, the Japanese and the Chinese, once they get involved in something, things, you know, because they have obviously a very significant mass to them, a lot of people over there, they get things out of control. As a matter of fact, they're 40% of the trading volume of Bitcoin, of the whole market, is traded
in Japan?
Yep, it's traded in yen. Bitcoin's traded in yen. South Korea has even more of a fascination. Bitcoin trades at like a $2,000 premium per coin there.
Well, these cultures also have a gambling
problem.
They have a gambling problem. Yeah, that's the word. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, I know they do.
Yeah. I mean, my parents always said to me, listen, if you're ever in a casino, sit next to the Chinese guy. They're lucky. I'm like, okay. I don't know what that means. Why does it have to do with anything with my cards?
Yeah, really.
You know? So they're lucky. That's not good for me. What's the? I don't understand the benefit here. Here's a question. Could this be the year that Facebook is seen as evil?
No, I don't know if they can. I don't think that. I think amongst some people, yes. But I don't think that's going to be generally the case. Nobody follows these kinds of trends, the general public. They don't care.
But they don't care that they've been totally suckered into bad news items and they're just getting crap on
them. They don't really care. No, I don't think they care
about that. They don't care about the fact that, you know, there's all sorts of bad advertising that is twisting their mindset because, you know, looking at how they, advertisers target market them because there's so much information available. They don't care about that either, right?
No. In fact, I know some guys are even tech savvy that think it's good. It's good. I'd rather be targeted because I know they're giving me advertisements for something I might want to buy. Mm-mm. I know people that have said that.
That's crazy.
No.
That's the same people that wonder, how did they know that I was shopping for a toaster? I went on Google and I went on a site and I went on, totally unrelated to all this, and there's a toaster ad there. How did that happen? Several U.S. employees that are said to have engaged in age discrimination by placing recruitment ads on Facebook targeting younger workers. It seems that T-Mobile, Amazon, Cox Communications imposed age limits on who could see their recruitment ads, limiting some to only people that were under 38. Is that illegal to target just?
I don't think the targeting is illegal. I think the hiring might be.
So if they have a job opening and they say this is only going to be, let's say, advertising on Facebook for it under the age of 38 is age discrimination.
I don't think so. I think it's just a workaround. I mean, it is age discrimination, but I don't think it's the kind that you can take to court because somebody has to be wronged.
Right.
If I all of a sudden go and say, or I get those ads and I go apply and they refuse to hire me because I'm too old, I think I'd have a case. But first I'd have to get a hold of the ad. I'd have to go through the rigmarole. I think it would be good. I mean, it would work. But I don't think just targeting, you know, I don't know. It's a good question, but I think targeting advertising this way, I don't see how you can make a case because who's it wronging?
Well, if you did it only for men or only for women, is that targeting?
I think it's the same kind of targeting, which is that I'm just not going to advertise to men.
Yeah.
But if a man wants to apply for the job, I think he can.
But he won't be able to see the job because it's not going to hit his Facebook.
Well, maybe that's why you should have a variety of Facebook accounts at different ages.
Ah. One of the things the SEC is now enforcing is that investment advisors or anybody registered with FINRA, I believe it is no longer allowed to have, I think, any social media accounts that are that don't have an identity. That, in other words, if I had a social media account that was the Money Man, let's just say, okay, and I didn't have my true name associated with it, and I could just write anything I wanted on there, the SEC is cracking down on that.
Because I guess it's probably to prevent pump and dumps.
Yeah, exactly what it is. You know, or to, you know, this way they know the identity. Because you're supposed to report or at least keep a record of all of your correspondence, communication, and advertising. So when you are not, when you don't have anything that can be tracked back to you and you say something, therefore you don't have to keep a record of it and there's no way for the SEC to track that. So there, I saw a
well,
few.
If there's no way. Hold on. If there's no way for the FCC to track that, how would they ever know it's you?
They won't. But if they did and they found it and they tracked it back to you and you did not disclose it, or you did, or you had an account that was anonymous, then you could be in trouble.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's a good rule.
I think it's a good rule too, but I don't see how it's going to
be
too enforceable because of the
right.
And the anonymity on the internet is very effective.
Yeah. So there's some scuttlebutt about Apple potentially buying Netflix. That was the rumor today. Now Apple's going to be going after Netflix. Netflix was up about 4.5% or 5% on this news, and it got me thinking just for a moment. Really, I don't see it. Seems pretty unlikely, even though they have all this cash, that these valuations, even if it's easier to buy a company than build it, I mean, they have a lot of the components already. Amazon is not, you know, the Amazon Prime video selection is not as good clearly with the content as Netflix and Hulu possibly is a better, you know, opportunity. But do you see this?
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with you. It would be overpaying for one thing, but does anybody really care with that much money when you get the pot full of money that's that big?
I mean, right, what's a billion here?
I don't know what
there?
The point. What is the point? So they could turn everything into iTunes? I'm not sure.
Well, hopefully not. I mean, they would you know, keep it as a streaming content site, but I just don't see, first of all, Netflix and their management selling to Apple. That's first of all. And I know that content these days is really sought after. We've seen a couple different M&A deals going on and things that are happening, things that have happened. And it's all about buying the content, right? Because then you can monetize it, or it is monetized and they want to bring that in.
Right.
But I just don't see where the benefit, you know, why Reed Hastings and his crew would want to actually sell at this point. I mean, there's just, they don't get any scalability by going now, you know, if it's a small company that has a small amount of subscribers and they have a great platform, they have just an amazing platform. Maybe Apple would want to fold those in and do something and then expand on it by then going after all of the potential people that are clients and customers of Apple. But Netflix, there's a gigantic overlap. I'm got to assume that, you know, most people that have Netflix or, you know, they have it, that they just because you're with Apple doesn't mean now I want to buy Netflix. Same thing with their headphones. You know, when they bought Beats.
Yeah.
And they shut down that music service.
Yeah, they did.
Unless they want
to. A lot of people thought they were buying Beats for the music service.
Right. So maybe they're just trying to shut down the competition. That could be
maybe
something, but that's an
that
expensive.
Would be one way of going. You
that's
buy
expensive.
It. You got so much money. I know. It's you got so much money to burn that you can buy the competition and shutter them.
I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Well, I think it's probably a false. It's probably a bad rumor.
Yep. I have a Fed limerick.
Uh oh.
Yeah. Damn straight. Uh oh. Because this one, I'm not sure about it myself, but it's possible. Here we go. What will they do with the Bitcoin? The Fed can't allow it to adjoin. With the currency of choice, as they say in a low voice, it sucks like a kick to the groin.
I like this one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I give it a B.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks. These are all, by the way, we keep these for historical records on the show notes page, so you can check that out. Thanks, everybody, for your donations, by the way. I don't want to shame anybody, but if you haven't donated ever, you know, really, you know, a lot of people are ahead of you. And I got to tell you, it's the thing to do. It is the thing to do. And it's the right thing to
it
do.
It is.
It's the right thing to do. So, you know, please, all kidding aside, donate to the show. We are now in the process of about to announce the Closest to the Pin Cup winner for 2017. We had a variety of participants. And how do you think we fund the various prizes and stuff? Well, it's because, you know, we get donations from good folk like you. Not to mention that I believe in the new tax code on page 75, section 1, subsection 2A, there is an extra deduction available for podcast donations. Did you hear about this?
That'll be the day.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so you can follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak over on Twitter. Myself, Andrew Horowitz. You can donate. That'd be great. And why don't you do the announcement and the summary of the Closest to the Pin Cup for 2017?
I will. Where is this guy located?
You know, that's an interesting question because he wrote me and he said, listen, I'm in Ireland.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
And but here's an address to send me the stuff.
So the winner is P.J. Lehane. And I was wondering if he was from Hawaii. I'd have to pronounce it Lahani.
Oh, Lahani. Lahulahulahawani.
And he missed the actual closing of the Dow Jones, which closed at 24,719.22. He only missed it by $43.62, 0.18% off. The runner-up, Kyle B., is off by $129.22, and he was off 0.5.
Yeah.
Now, even getting close to these numbers is just, to me, is remarkable.
Yeah, especially so, we have a three-week period where it was running blind.
Yeah. So, PJ, congratulations. You win the cup.
Yep. It's on order, being engraved right now. And we'll send you that T-shirt. We're going to send you a signed book and a box. You're going to get a box with tape. So you get all that too. You could use it over. And congratulations to Rick Harris, Christopher Malik, Warren Schilling, Roman Chernish, PJ Lehane, who won, Kyle Bird, Matthew Phillips, Fred Kieber, Sam Loing, and Nikola Nikolov for being the winners throughout the year of the Close to the Pin. We will have another one up very shortly. And what you could do is just go on the site, go to the Close to the Pin. It's announced. It goes on Twitter and all that. And if you can become the Closest to the Pin winner, you will actually be in the running for the Close to the Pin Cup as well at the end of the year. And of course, everybody gets a free one-of-a-kind DH Unplugged t-shirt and a wonderful certificate suitable for framing in your house, way above on your fireplace mantle. Everybody can see what it
is. Definitely in your office otherwise.
Yeah. We have some news on the weekly stocks picks page on DH Unplugged.
Okay, what is it?
A little bit of a change. This could be bad. I added tracking. So right now on the top of it, there's the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the daily close, and the year-to-date close, you know, or the percentage change, okay? There's the S&P, and there's the NASDAQ. And we had crude oil on there before. I took off crude oil, and we added Bitcoin futures and the VIX index.
Ah.
So.
Okay. Well, we'll see what good that does us.
I don't think it'll do us any good, but I thought it'd be interesting.
I think the VIX is always good to follow. The Bitcoin thing, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, it's on there now. You can go over to the weekly stock picks page, the weekly on DH Unplugged and check it out. If you haven't done so already, by the way, you should do that because on that page is all of the currently held positions, their performance, and the recently closed transactions, a couple of tabs on there. And you can check those out. They run live throughout the day, obviously not at night, but throughout the day. Hey, have you watched, do you watch any Netflix at all?
Yeah, I watch lots of Netflix.
Did you watch The Crown?
No.
I thought it was good. It's the Queen Elizabeth story.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Oh, I thought it was pretty good. At least it's very good to relax late at night and then fall asleep too. You know?
I read books to fall asleep.
Oh, late at night I can't. I get two pages and I get the book clunking in my head. You know, I just can't do it when it's late. But here's some news. Beatles drummer Ringo Starr and Bee Gees' Barry Gibb, which I didn't know he was the last Gibb. Did you know that?
Yeah, they're all dead but him.
What happened? What happened?
They died.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I know. There's a huge amount.
Hmm. Anyway, they're among the celebrity citizens who have been selected for knighthood. I guess we missed out somehow. And other awards given in the name of Britain's monarch is going to be knighted. Also in the honors are Michael Morpurgo. Who is that?
I have no idea.
He wrote the celebrated children's book, The War Horse.
Don't know it.
And actor Hugh Laurie, which, by the way, the first time I heard him speak out of character with an English accent, I almost fell over.
Oh, that's funny. Well, you know, there's a bunch of guys. The first time I heard, I felt the same way when I heard that guy was the star of The Wire. Turns out almost all those guys who were in The Wire were British.
Right. I met one of those guys. One of the guy that was, they were always chasing. The guy that was.
Oh, really? The good bad guy?
Yeah.
The Robin Hood guy?
Yeah, the guy.
Black guy with the scar?
Yeah. I met him on a plane one time. As a matter of fact, I dropped my passport and he handed it back to me. I'm like, hey, thanks. He was a nice fellow. And we sat in first class
together. I've heard him on a talk show. He seems like a really nice guy. He's really a good actor.
Yeah, really nice guy. I was in one of the lounges or something with him. And then we went on a plane together.
Did you say anything? Like, hey, you know, I like your role in The Wire?
Yeah. At first, I couldn't figure out where, you know, when you get there and you see him, you're like, where do I know that guy from? You know,
yeah, it's like first, I'm out of context.
Yeah, like, who is that guy, man?
Although he's so distinctive looking.
Yeah, he was really nice. Really nice guy. Really nice. Here's something disturbing, or I did not honestly set this up, okay? I didn't pre-plan what I just said. Or maybe not disturbing. Walt Disney World is announcing it's updating its security policies at their resorts. And the company's getting rid of all the do not disturb signs and requiring Disney employees to enter each hotel room each day.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm predicting thievery.
Thievery, plenty of uncomfortable situations being interrupted.
There's that too.
I don't think they're going
to. They're going to knock.
They'll knock. Right. They'll knock. But they're getting rid of these do not disturb, I guess, for security measures so that, you know, if somebody holds up in a place for 4 or 5 days, getting ready with a barrage of weapons to do something bad to Mickey, that you can't do that. So it's going to be a daily check. I guess they're checking the room. It's not that they're not only, I guess, going in just to open the door to make sure somebody's not dead on the floor or something, but they're going in probably to check around to see what's going on. Now, obviously, if you know this, two things. First, you're not going to go to a Disney resort if you're doing something bad. If you're doing something that shouldn't be done, but there's probably going to be a lot of hotels that are going to be, I don't know. I got comfort when you put the do not disturb thing on when you go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or doing other things.
Okay.
I'm just saying. You're not disturbed about this?
I think they go in there anyway.
Oh.
They're always coming in to put a chocolate there or fluff the pillow.
You know, when you get the turndown service, something I never turned down. I never turned down the turndown service.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I don't want them to turn it down. It's bull crap.
That's what I get mean, the I chocolates. Like the, that's the chocolates.
It's always a cheap chocolate, though. It's not like they're giving you a quality product.
Right. A little square. Have you ever had the turndown service, didn't realize it, had the square underneath your neck the whole night, wake up with a chocolatey neck? No?
Chocolatey neck.
Yeah. It's happened.
Wow.
I know people have probably happened. North America is currently experiencing the harshest cold snap in 24 years. By the way, congratulations, Donald Trump. We got rid of the global warming. Thank you. You have to say thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Donald.
Yeah, the global warming is over. It seems that here's the news. Here's the stupid news, by the way, okay? This is how crazy this stuff gets. Reports all over the place of windows breaking due to the cold, sharks freezing to death in Cape Cod, and now...
Oh, I love the frozen shark. By the way, some of those sharks will thaw out and be fine.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see that, actually, with sharks. They're beastly characters.
No, they were from way back.
And now, the worst thing of all, this is where the sensationalism takes over, okay? Niagara Falls has frozen over. Like, oh my God.
That'd be a nice photo.
There are some great photos, by the way. I should have put one on here. I saw a lot of them. But what's interesting is that it's like, oh my God, it's the coldest. This is either from the side of global warming, if you're on that side, because there's only two sides, it seems. You're on that side, like, well, it's because of global warming. This is all because of the climate change.
Sure, makes nothing but sense.
Yeah, climate change, it's, you know, and this never happened before. This is how the headlines read, okay?
That's happened before.
It happens a lot, by the way. That's my point.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. It's winter up in
it's
Canada.
It's winter, hello.
You know?
If this was happening in July, I'd be a little more concerned.
Right. So it's like the whole Niagara Falls. And if you're on the other side of the... I don't believe in climate change. You're like, you know, see. Yeah, there's none of that. So, but that's the funny thing about how this news is all done, right? It's all headline driven. It's all meant to disturb, and people just read the headlines. And they believe it seems that they believe anything they want to believe. Not that I'm picking it. Listen, I'm not picking on Donald Trump tonight, but I just want to show you one other thing. This is the tweet I was going to bring up. He said, since taking office, I have been very strict on commercial aviation. Good news. It was just reported that there were zero deaths in 2017, the best and safest year on record. Stephen Ratner replied, memo to Trump. The last time anyone died on a U.S. certified airline was in February of 2009. People just talking out of their ass.
Well, Trump seems to do that. He just says stuff. I don't know if he cares that half of this stuff is malarkey or what. I have no idea. But I know it gets everyone all jacked up.
Yeah. Everybody gets crazy with it. No, but my point is, I'm not picking on him for in particular, but it's just
go ahead. Well, everybody else.
But it seems that there's just a lot of bullshit out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, this
is- I seem to have lost you there. You still with me? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. We're getting weird sounds. Huh. Oh, John. That's it. He's gone.
Oh, wait a minute. No,
I couldn't. I can hear you now.
Oh, you can. Okay.
There we go. Nestle, I was going into it from the frozen water to the another water story. Nestle has been bottling and selling water that it has no right legal right to use.
This has been going on for over a year.
Yeah. Fights over the water are constant in California, exacerbated with drought years, make the supply especially scarce. Since 2015, officials in the State Water Resource Control Board have received numerous complaints that Nestle was claiming water from the San Bernardino National Forest, to which it has no right, and then selling it under the Arrowhead brand.
They were selling it under the Arrowhead brand?
Yeah.
I thought Arrowhead came from a specific spring up in the Sierra Nevadas.
They may have been using the water from there and saying it was from somewhere else. That's probably part of a separate claim. Because we know that the other water, whatever water that was, there was another one too, that was just using tap water. Dude, I want to sell water. I mean, think about that.
I know. I find it to be a fascinating idea.
I just sell water. Put some really good, let's call it artesian, filtered, and crafted. Blah, 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 blah,
crafted.
Blah.
Small batch.
Small batch water that's been finely filtered through one of the finest filters known, you know, a reverse osmosis filtering process that we have a patent on, that we use lasers then to check for any particle remains that are then removed through a
zap.
Yeah, some kind of a special, you know, lighting system, that a black lighting system that just takes them all out.
You know, there is there's a lot of possibilities, because people drink Dasani, which is nothing more than filtered water. I think it's like Brita water. And I don't know. I have a kind of a taste for good water. My favorite water, I think, is German. It's called Spa. But I've noticed that if you ever get on a Navy ship,
yeah,
the water that they produce on the ship, because that water is all manufactured on the ship from seawater.
So desalinated.
Desalinated. Right. It's delicious.
Maybe it's got a little salt in it to pick up the flavor.
I don't know.
That's what we're going to have. Garlic water. That's what we're going to do. Garlic water.
Oh, yeah. That'll pay off big.
Let's see here. The ivory trade in China is coming to an end. All the country's licensed ivory carving facilities and retailers will be shuttered.
Good.
Yeah. So there we go. And here's something I thought was interesting. Disturbing that about the Dr. Phil show. Dr. Phil, is he still on? Is he still on? Or
yeah, of course, I think so. I've never seen any cancellation.
Several guests on the Dr. Phil show claim that as they struggled with severe substance addictions, the show helped them find drugs and alcohol. In 2013, former Survivor winner Todd Herzog appeared on the Dr. Phil show and was so intoxicated that he was struggling to stand. Seems that during the interview, he said, "Oh my God, Dr. Phil said never spoke to a guest that was that closer to death." But Herzog insisted that he was actually sober when he arrived in LA and at to the set. Instead, he found a bottle of vodka was waiting for him in the dressing room, and he was battling alcoholism. And also, he was given a dose of anti-anxiety medication by an employee who said it would calm his nerves.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, these shows, I don't trust any of these shows.
What's the show that they paid people to throw chairs?
Yeah, that was Jerry Springer.
And there was that guy Steve...
Jerry Springer.
Well, Jerry Springer was definitely... Yeah. And then there was that other guy that was just caused problems. You know, is this my baby? There's two different guys there and just starts a brawl.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Somebody. He's on like late night WGN or something. And finally, I guess we'll have to end this with the Cleveland Browns are the second NFL team to go winless in the league's history.
Yeah. In fact, for two seasons, they've only won one game.
Did they fire their coach? Because they probably
should. No. Let's keep the coach. He's gotten the right track. He went from winning one game last year to winless. So next year, the target is losing 17 games somehow.
Unbelievable. And let me ask you this. What are you writing for PC Magazine?
I'm writing about the people that write predictions for the next year. Every year, you know, this is the time of year that all the columnists write prediction. They write one of number of things. They either write about their predictions for the upcoming year or their review of last year's predictions and the fails and the products that didn't do well last year. There's all these things. So I'm writing an overview of this sort of column with my surefire prediction.
Yes.
I only have one.
Yeah.
And I do make it every year. And the prediction is that next year around this time, there will be more columns about predictions.
Yeah, that probably will happen. Yeah. I mean, it's back to that was one of the earliest forms of clickbaiting, or at least slink baiting, or whatever you call whatever's going on. Headlines about the predictions, what's going to happen. And nobody's accountable. Right, they don't go back and say, "Okay, last." Some people do, but
Well, they can't. They're all accountable because they never get anything right.
Oh,
so yeah, everything was wrong. Okay, onward.
We should make some crazy predictions for the next show, like just some crazy offbeat stuff that's going to happen in the financial markets around the world. Some crazy stuff, and see how, you know, stuff that we're not even thinking through, just random. You know, I'm talking about throwing darts.
And okay, you need a big dartboard with a bunch of things on it you can throw at.
But just coming up with ideas to see how close we actually come to anything of reality versus thinking through it, like they do with the predictions.
Well, that's what they used to do with the dart. The Wall Street Journal, the New York Times stock sheet that's on one of the pages inside, and you put it up against the one, you throw a dart at it, and you buy that stock.
Right.
Or you have a monkey throw the dart.
Right. And they had the dart portfolio versus our analysts.
Yeah. The dart portfolio, random portfolio, tends to do better. It does.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the stock picks towards the end of the show here. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any sort, of any kind, in any manner. And we're just coming along, talking about some ideas that we have. You can track all these, of course, over on DH Unplugged under the weekly stock picks page. And we highly recommend that if anybody chooses to do anything with any things we talk about, you go see a professional financial advisor, get some good advice, do your own research. We take no liability. JCD, John C. Dvorak, myself, and Horowitz Company clients may own any of the securities that are discussed, and we will disclose that if that's the case.
So we have a lot of green.
Mm-hmm.
And two little reds. One of them is minuscule, 0.14, which is my pick of Viacom as a buyout merger candidate, which I'm sticking with. Mm-hmm. General Electric, for some reason, which is another one of my picks, the only other red on there, and it is down 2%.
They had a good day today, like I said, had a really good day. How much lower can it go? How much worse can it get?
I don't think it can. That's why I picked it.
I hear you. This is the third time we've picked it, though.
Yeah, we're at least consistent.
Yeah. Five Below is up 41%. Straight Path is holding in until the takeover happens. Cara Therapeutics had a nice little run today, up 1.75%. Penske up 1%. Barnes & Noble left for dead, but John said, you know what? Some insiders here, up 5.34%. And Discovery Communications, they were in the news again today, another possible grab for content and a merger, which was... And big insiders with Malone.
Malone's buying it. That's like a good sign. It's like the second to the Baker brothers, as far as I'm concerned.
Do we have anybody left on the Baker brothers here? Let's see.
No, they finally crapped out.
I have two picks. I have one off-the-wall bizarro possibility of a really ugly chart with a squeeze candidate. And here's what it is. RYB Education. This is the Chinese company that runs preschool and daycare facilities throughout China. And there was that weird story a few weeks back about how the company in one of their facilities, they were doing some weird stuff to kids. Let's put it that way. They were sticking them with pins. They were making them stand there naked. It was weird. It was very weird. I'm thinking that this, you know, the usual, after a while, everybody forgets. And while there may be a significant news story out there for a little while, everybody be like, it's not as bad as we thought, because they're down pretty hard.
Or it could be bull crap.
Right. So looking for an ugly chart squeeze.
Yeah, that's a very, very weird pick.
Yeah. I got short Roku, which
why? I agree with you. This thing's out of control.
Yeah, it's a simple streaming. They don't own the content. They're just passing it through, getting a piece of it, of course. But
yeah, I am surprised somebody. Or I don't know what the invention, what the patents are, but it seems to me you could clone that box.
Yeah, and they have little sticks now.
Yeah, well, maybe. I have one.
Yeah, what do you got?
Again, this is based on insider buying. Some guy just bought a ton of it. He bought one. It's just one of the directors who does not play the market, from what I can tell. It's not one of the directors. It is one of the directors, but it's actually a holding company that is kind of is like a stock buyback. But it's $61 million worth of a stock buyback. But I kind of like the idea. This is OCI Partners, which is a chemical company. They big ammonia producers.
What's the symbol?
And I think OCIP. I think they own the Beaumont refinery too down in Texas, which is a big deal in the refining business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in.
That's it. One.
Yeah, just the one.
All right. Any parting words? Any parting gifts? Anything?
No, I can't think of a thing.
Nothing. Well, I can think of one thing. We'll be there next week. Of course, in between that, what you have is a lot to do. Number one, everybody should be listening to, of course, John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry on No Agenda. Adam just won a very prestigious award, which I tried to translate what exactly it meant. I guess it was in Holland he won it, or
where? Yeah, it was in Holland. It's a Dutch award. If you go on Google, use the Google Chrome browser, you can click on the button and it'll translate the page.
Yeah. So I guess he won like a Peabody or something.
Yeah, something like that. So actually, in fact, it's a lifetime achievement award.
Actually, I heard. Did he decide he's going to go and do the show from there? Or are you going to postpone the show? I thought I'd stand in for him, but there's no way I could do that when he's away.
We're going to do the show probably Wednesday.
Mm. So on Thursdays, you can listen live, of course, at what time of the day is that on Thursday?
It's always at 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific time.
So it's 12 Eastern and, of course, 12 on Sundays as well. You'll have a lot of fun with that. Make sure to listen to that. You can listen live or you can get it downloaded through your favorite podcasting application. That's No Agenda. And you can go to noagendashow.com, No Agenda Stream. And, of course, The Disciplined Investor, where we got lots of good stuff, lots of great. Oh, we had a great guest last week with Ben Hunt. Or 2 weeks ago. You got to listen to that. All right, we'll see you next week.
Will. Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.